Hello and welcome to Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Steve and it is great to have your company. The wisdom of the Himalayas comes to Talking Trading this week with Gurtu Monk and ex-translator to the Dalai Lama, Sonam Rigson. Chris Tate speaks about the Zen concept of mushin or no-mindedness when trading. And today we speak to Sonam on this concept and on how to enjoy success in the material world, free from toxic emotions. Sonam told me he has a high respect for share traders, believing that they are true spiritual masters who take risks all the time. He is very well known for his sense of humour and was fond of telling the Dalai Lama on stage that audience members had said that he, Sonam, looked like Imran Khan. He finds amusement in us Westerners because we take our neurotic thoughts and emotions so seriously. Thank goodness, he says, because otherwise he and other monks would be out of a job. So, as the Dalai Lama tours Australia with Sonam's rich Tibetan accent, I hope you sit back and enjoy the wisdom of the Himalayas. Sonam, hello and welcome to Talking Trading.
Thank you very much to be on your program.
Sonam, it's a real privilege to speak with you. I'd like to start by a trading concept that's called mushin, or no mind, by Japanese warriors, which is very similar to the Buddhist, from my understanding, Buddhist nature of mind. Would you start by explaining to us what the nature of mind actually is?
Well, let me start by saying the standard understanding of Buddhism in relation to knowing mind. Nature of mind is knowing. It has no particular feature other than immense power to reflect everything as it is, whatever is happening. In the metaphor, water simply reflects the color of the container in which it is held. Enlightenment, it's all about putting the environment right in order for the mind to do its job. So knowing mind, from a Buddhist perspective, is very, very important. Whatever you wish to happen, do things well or not do things well, or successful or unsuccessful, be totally in mindful, totally in a command, and everything else occurs within your mind.
Sonam, how do we learn to know our mind?
Well, we say meditation, watching your mind. So it comes down to the still mind or still consciousness or still awareness inside your brain, where it then becomes as a situation room in order to make all the decisions in terms of outer realities. We are caught up in this game of survival, which is very much competition, very much competitiveness. Being competitive means selfish, which means trying to hang on to, keep everything that is regarded as good for you. Hence, that exerts tremendous energy that are unsustainable, which then we are engaged in a bonded in the cycle of these competitions, cycle of otherwise known as a samsara from a Buddhist point of view. How can we get out of this immense misery, this competitiveness, by going beyond the law of physics? That which governs the universe is, I think, what we know as bodhicitta in the Buddhist terms, or compassion or altruism. Imagine a picture in which you become highly non-competitive, in which you are developing no self-interest. You are happy to lose your money. You are happy to lose your reputation. Lose everything as if you're not caring for yourself. When you're meditating, when you're working like that, then it takes the biggest impediment of losing confidence in the business, in the relationship, in the life. So by that, Buddha or Buddhism is not advocating that you suddenly become reckless, destroy yourself, throw things away and things like that. But see rather that as a science, that as an art, in order to remove the suffering of all others. It is upending or turn us or reversing the very process of competitiveness to your immense advantage of a courage in which you'll become infinite, in which you are able to display, you have no doubts. So knowing your mind here means fearlessness. So from a Buddhist point of view, to know your mind, now that applies in a business, to be able to deeply go inside and remove fear for your own survival, you are happy to lose because everything is impermanent, because everything can never be controlled. Everything changes. I can never control everything forever. But training your mind, get a deep state of fearlessness where you are not afraid of losing everything, your name, your credibility, your business, your relationship, the opinions of others and everything else, because they all are superficial at the end of the day. They all are conventional construct. Ultimately, nothing can be controlled.
The markets trade on fear, which is aversion, or greed, which is attachment, and ignorance. Can you explain these Buddhist states?
Well, as I mentioned before, there are two levels of realities. There's a system in which you do the trading. A trading, as you said, they speculate, cause fear, they cause greed, and all of it. You can play the games in that regard. Remember their game. And game can be lost and won. But somehow, once you recognize they are game, they are not 100% real, it removes the fear from the traders. And therefore, it gives you in a calm state of mind to make a perfect decisions. There is nothing wrong in profit. What is wrong is, according to Buddhism, when you start mistakenly thinking that everything you see is a solid, inherent, permanent, grasping at them, controlling at them, then that is a problem. That is a problem. So in a funny sort of way, if you are in a business field, highly competitive business, you could be the true Buddhist practitioner who understands the power of mind far more than perhaps average Joe Blow like myself in the street. Because more the power, the intricacy of a mind is understood when there's a lot more at risk. If you go back to historically, at the time of Buddha, all of Buddha's followers were not a beggar. They were celebrity, today's celebrity people. They were like a princess and a princess and artisans and kings and ministers and so on, because they had so much to lose. Therefore, they have so much in a position to experience the power of mind. The ways in which we understand nature of mind does not have to be sit under a tree or anything like that. It can be done both ways.
Sonam, can we very quickly discuss the power of generosity?
The power of generosity is not in the size and the amount that you give away. Power of generosity lies within the mind itself, in which you exercise immense goodwill of feeling happy. You enjoy it. Enjoy doing it voluntarily without any expectations of anything coming back or not coming back. Free of those hang-ups around just giving it because you want to, because you don't need it, you don't want to possess. That's a liberating. It helps, if you like, to use the cliche, kill the self-centeredness. In removing or chipping away the certain part of self-centeredness, self-obsession gives us the pleasure of freedom. That's why, for example, we find being in love, it's so attractive. Attractive and enjoyable because that person, whatever situation, causes that feeling in you, not so much that person's you think good, but it is so good because it makes you forget yourself. It destroys or removes your self-centeredness, self-obsessions. They remove that need to survive. Therefore, I think we find love is so good. Therefore, we take tremendous risk or we don't think straight when we get the feeling of love. It's because whatever the circumstance you find yourself, something that produces this immense love is so addictive, so powerful, it kills the biggest barrier on the path for us to feel good. That is our self-centeredness. So therefore, the power of generosity is, although you give big things to others, they are very nice, it's very charitable. Maybe there's something karmically come as a reward. I don't know, although Buddhism says it does. But the main reward is to be able to do it in the process itself, the giving of it. How good is that, that you are able to give something, be so nice to someone, and even though they do not return the favor to you, even though they are being mean back to you, you have given it voluntarily. You just gave it away because you did it. They have no power to hurt back you because you have destroyed your self-centeredness.
What about the poison of resentment?
Well, poisons of resentment is something we all carry. And that is, again, comes back down to our self-centeredness, or should I say, our selfish, instinctive desire for survival, me, me, me. And so you feel very resentful because something that could have promoted your interest, your welfare, has been destroyed or has been taken away from you. And because of that, you resent, which is fair enough, which is a part of the brutality of evolutions. So Buddhist psychology or Buddhist philosophy is not about finding why am I getting so angry all the time and looking for explanations or justifications. Buddhist philosophy is about how can I get out of it? So from Buddhist perspective is, if you don't enjoy the poison of resentment, then you can get out of it. And that is not because of you can do sort of forgiveness and all of those. Yes, those can come. But fundamentally going back down to your own self, yourself inside your mind, you practice, you visualize by saying, I'm happy to be betrayed. I am, let others think very less of me. Let him or her or eat or my disease, whatever, enjoy on me because I can't control them. They're impermanent and I don't need it. I don't need it, I don't want it, in those most positive, powerful way, when generated in your mind, it completely removes and massages and undermines the very thing that is so tense on our psychology, on mind, about me, me, me. And so when you destroy that self-interest, me, 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 then you discover that something much more powerful actually emerge within that, then all the poison, the resentments, all the sadness, griefs, anger, fear, hang-up, insecurity will simply disappear and everything else then become the dramatic visitory display of your pristine awareness, which is power of your own mind.
Sonu, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real blessing to speak with you and hear all your wisdom. I'm sure that's going to help our traders immensely.
Finally, I like to say, in that situations, traders, they go to quiet room somewhere and they spend a few minutes in which they truly imagine genuinely on the basis of saying everything's impermanent, everything changing, I'm happy to lose everything. Do that bit of meditations and you get the inner strength, yeah? And then you go out and do business, you have a deeper confidence when you do it. You see things much more clearly when you're not afraid of your demise.
And that's all we have for you today, guys. Stay tuned next week to hear Louise Bedford on Google Goggles and the future of share trading. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team, thanks for your company. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any of the information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.